You know, I can't escape my nature. I'm a fixer. I love to fix things, and even as a child, I would take all kinds of things apart, including my alarm clock. I would put them back together. I come by this naturally, and my desire to make things right, to make things new, is very, very deep. But I'm only human, and I have my limitations, and I can't fix the whole world. And I got to tell you, we live in a really broken world. We are resilient, however. We have each other. We understand right from wrong. But that all goes out the window when our backs are against the wall. What does that mean? What does it mean when your back's against the wall? It means that when we're caught, when we have no place to run, and we have to make a decision, sometimes a decision that will literally change the course of our very lives. What do we choose? What do we choose when our back's against the wall? It's at those times when I think that we find out who we really are and whose we really are. We always want to do the very next right thing in front of us. But first, we need to know in our hearts what is the right thing to do. And sometimes what's right isn't always what's comfortable. So what did Jesus do? The scriptures are full of times when the disciples really questioned what in the world Jesus was doing. Was he crazy to fly in the face of the Pharisees and the whole Roman Empire? I mean, every good king has an army. But he fought his battles with words and with actions and not a sword. In our very best human style, we took the words and actions of Jesus and turned them into justifications for fighting wars, for enriching ourselves, and all done in the name of doing the right thing. In good times, we tend to rally behind winners. Everybody wants to be a winner. We want a champion to follow. We need an example. One who, when emulated, will also make us champions. We're driven to be the best and the strongest and the fastest. We want to be the most successful, and we want to follow people who show us how to do that, how to be those things and those people. But when it comes to Jesus, however, we try to apply our concepts of what it means to be strong and successful, and the set of definitions that Jesus has given us. All of those parts don't always fit together the way that we think they should, an earthly way. When we try to fix what's broken, we find sometimes that we need to forge entirely new parts because the cookie cutter parts that work in the world are not the parts that we need to fix the whole kingdom. They don't fit to create the kind of world that Jesus wants us to create for each other. I like to think I'm a good person. I want to think that my natural propensity to fix things makes me valuable to a broken world. But I'm not so sure how valuable I am unless first I learn how to take that plank out of my eye, how to see the world as God really intended it. In God, we are not here just for ourselves. When we're living according to the world God wants to create, we need to be here for each other. Not being here for ourselves kind of throws a curve into our human way of being. If we're really going to follow Jesus, then we need to be here for each other first. We need to recognize that God doesn't value any one person or race or religion over another one. We need to be there for the other, no matter how different that person is from us. Without God, I'm self-centered. And all this is to say is that without God, without changing myself from the center, I can't fix anything. I can't even fix myself. So what's all this got to do with Palm Sunday? Let's take a look at the scriptures. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Prophets seem to have always been around. They're the people who have said to have a direct link with the divine. They're intermediaries who can speak on behalf of the divine. In Jesus' time, they were very, very important. Imagine, can you imagine having a direct link to God? Imagine being able to show through actions and divine power that we can overcome the laws of nature, that we can heal the sick and feed the hungry and calm the storms. How cool is that? I know that I want to be aligned with that person. I know that I want to be smiling and raising palm branches in the air and laying them down to create a smooth path for that kind of a prophet. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And I want to be the person who comes in the name of the Lord too. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what Jesus tells me that I should do. I mean, look how popular he was. I want to be like that guy. Look at me, Jesus. I'm praising you. I've got my palms here. I'm on your side. Just let me know if you need anything. I can fix anything. Seriously, I can do it. That would be me until I realize that what Jesus is actually asking me to do is not what I think I need to do. I want to share in his praise and his glory. I want to stay with him and stay awake with him. I want to support his mother and feed the hungry and shelter the homeless. I want to do justice and I want to love kindness. But Jesus is asking me to do all of this at my own expense. It makes me think, wait, can't I just come to the parade? And it's because I can be self-centered, especially when I don't spend enough time figuring out who I am or whose I am. And I need to know what that really means inside. You'd think by now that I'd realize that when I fight authority, authority always wins. Later in the scriptures, Jesus gives those persecuting him a piece of truth about God's kingdom. He says, from now you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. But they can only answer from a place of an earthly perspective. He's blaspheming. He deserves death. And they spat on his face and struck him. And some slapping him, saying, prophesy to us, Messiah. Who is it that struck you? They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know that they're in a relationship with the Son of God. They don't know who they claim to belong to. When I was young and naive, I never wanted to yell, crucify him. That always bothered me about this service. I thought I would never do that. I would never yell, crucify him to Jesus. That was them. That was those people. That was back in the day when they didn't know any better. It's not me. And then finally, I came to understand that every time I chose my wants over the needs of other people, every time I left undone some of the good that I could have done in the world, I was actually yelling, crucify him in my heart. Because it was a lot easier to say, these people in the scripture did not really know Jesus like I know Jesus. Like we all know Jesus, right? No, wrong. To illustrate this a little more clearly, I wanted to look at Peter. And Peter says, Peter's the right hand. Peter is the rock on which Jesus founded the whole church. And there he is in scripture with Jesus in the flesh this whole time. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. I don't know what you're talking about, Peter answered. I don't know the man. And then he swore an oath. I don't know the man. We know the rest. The cock crowed the third time. Who do I think I am? Who do any of us think we are? Even Peter, with Jesus there, having seen all the miracles, fell flat and was afraid for his life. He was only thinking about his immediate need for safety. We so need to be forgiven an endless number of times because we can't escape our nature. And frankly, I don't think God expects us to. But I do think that we're expected to try over and over again. And in our trying, You know, sometimes we do end up doing the right thing. Sometimes we do follow Jesus. And we can, with God's help, put others first. This all starts with fixing ourselves only. We can only control our responses, our actions. And with help, we can claim Jesus, even when it doesn't feel comfortable. Because I'll tell you what, anyone can add to the din and cheers of a parade. But no one alone can just be the hands and feet and pick up the cross and carry it, even a little way through the world. To do that, we need God's help. As a final thought, I said something earlier I want to clear up. In my words concerning the prophets, I said, imagine having a direct link to God. You do not have to imagine this. We all have a direct link to God. I choose to call that link prayer. So as we enter this Holy Week, remember to become servants of each other first. After that, hang on and fasten your seatbelts. Because the ride to Easter, that ride's going to be bumpy at best. Amen.